Okay, world, it's your girl Malika X, and we are back with another week of Being Frank, the podcast, where you can be bold, honest, and unmistakable. As always, I have something special for y'all, so stay tuned and keep listening. If you have questions, you can always send them over to social@beingfrankmedia.com. That's social@beingfrankmedia.com. With that, let's kick off the show. Hey world, we are back with another week of the podcast. I am sitting here in an empty ass townhouse in Charleston. I'm back in Charleston. Your girl is crazy. The acoustics sound great in here. I'm hoping that the podcast sounds good. I guess I have to do it in an empty room like this all the time. But I'm here in Charleston. I've been back a week and I had to finish up some work 2 weeks here in this area before I can officially be done. The townhouse is for sale. It's under contract. So that is going to be a smooth transition, and I turn in everything to the listing agent on Wednesday. So I just got 3 more days in this town and I am out of here. Won't be coming back to 843 unless I'm visiting. It is official after this week. It is official. But I'm coming to y'all first to say welcome, 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 welcome back to another episode and this series of Save to Say It. It's going to be another one of those weeks. I'm trying to manage everything with moving and on the road driving for work. Coming back down to Charleston has been a little bit of, it's just been hectic, y'all, to be honest. I'm not feeling well. I found out this past week that I actually have bronchitis. So I have my tea. I waited to do the recording again to the last minute. So I'm recording here on Sunday when you get it. Right after I finish, I'm going to go ahead and upload and publish. But I have not feeling well, been feeling well. My body is like, girl, you doing too much. Sit your ass down. So if I want to continue to be saved, to say it, I'm going to have to put my feet up for a couple weeks and relax and take a break. So I'm going to start the first segment righting my wrongs and say right up front to my listeners that we're going to go with a new format for the podcast and go to an every 2 week piece just because I know that with me moving and going back and forth in this next month is going to be really hectic. I'm trying to recover. I had a major surgery 2 months ago. And then I'm officially going to take a 2 week vacation just so I can rest and come back at y'all with something new for the next series. I'm going to switch it up and we're going to end Save to Say It this week. So I want to put it out there up front. Save to Say It. This is the last episode and we are going to be back in 2 weeks. I know some people are not going to like that. So I'm putting that under righting my wrongs. So I know I'm wrong for that. But y'all, I got to take a break. Like my body is tired and I'm preparing to leave Charleston to go back up to Charlotte to go to a family reunion in Georgia and to go up to Cleveland to see my folks in the next 2 weeks. So I got a full plate and then I'm going to jump right back into full-time work when I get back to Charlotte. So a girl can't even enjoy her new house because I'm going to be on the road actually for the next 2 weeks. And then when I get back, I will be ready for y'all. I'm going to have a lot of really dope content because I'm going to be in Cleveland shooting some different stuff, thinking about already what the next series is going to be about because I'm coming home. But I'm going to miss all my friends in Charleston. If I did not get to see y'all, this is another part where I have to right my wrongs. I had a little brunch, a wake and Drake brunch yesterday. We went to that, me and about 10 of my friends here in Charleston. I know everybody couldn't make it. I understand. Love y'all anyway. Going to miss y'all. Y'all know where I'm at. Got the guest bedroom ready. So when you want to come to the Queen City, y'all can meet me up there. As you know, Pride Weekend is the weekend of my birthday. So my birthday is the 13th of August. And Pride is going to be that following weekend. Because I think my birthday falls on like a Monday this year. So meet me in the Queen City for Pride. Or, you know, shit. I already know it's going to be a ton of motherfuckers knocking at my door. Hit me up. Messaging me in my DMs. Like, yo, sis, could you still got that, you know, spare bedroom? Because next year's All-Star Weekend is happening in Charlotte. So I ain't got to worry about you motherfuckers coming to visit. I know you're going to be there, whether it's CIAA, All-Star Weekend, or, you know, my true diehard peeps, the ones that are in the inner circle. I'll be seeing y'all anyway up there for Splash during Pride. We having a little pool party on that weekend. So come out, see me if you can. But I apologize to all of y'all that I was not able to see before I left the Chuck. But this is Deuces, and I enjoyed my time here in Charleston. I learned so much. My career just really took off when I was here. And I'm ready to move on to the next chapter. I'm looking forward to it. I'm just excited, man, about what the future holds. I'm doing a lot of like just self-actualization of what is next for me and just receiving it. The universe is just pouring out so much. So I am ready to receive, and just I am thankful just for everyone, those that are listening, those that have helped me along the way. Thank you, thank you, thank you, because I could not do this episode of Righting My Wrongs without apologizing first and saying thank you to all of those people who have been influential in my growth process during this time in Charleston, because, you know, it took a lot of people to get me to where I am now. It didn't happen by myself. So I thank y'all. But I'm going to miss the Low Country. It has so much to offer, so much rich history here. I'm just going to apologize because I know I'm wrong. I have not seen everyone. So I want to say thank you, thank you to everyone that has had an impact on my life while I was here in Charleston. And a special shout out to my boy Ricardo, who presented me with a gift yesterday. My friends are amazing. As we get into the next segment, The Imperfect Union, I am often surrounded by other people in the field of education that are doing things, but, you know, I try to highlight something positive before I go into the mess. Yes. But he is just doing big things. He listens every week. I thank you, my brother, and I thank you and your family for just opening your door yesterday and you putting on a show on that grill master. I thought the kids and I were just gonna have a little something. Man, when I tell you, people in the South, they cook. When they cook, they cook. So that's one great thing about the South, the culture. And when you around this culture, you gonna eat and you might gain a couple pounds. That is a great thing about being in the South. The food is delicious. Man, Cardo Nim he went from, oh, we just doing some burgers and chicken. Man, it turned out dogs, fried fish, chicken, steak, pork ribs, beef ribs. Then, baby, they brought out the blue crabs. What is a party without a blue crab boil. And if you don't know nothing about the blue crabs down here, I already done told you, you ain't gonna eat. You ain't gonna eat your crabs if you don't know how to break them down, bust that back open, peel that, you know, that top off, and get in there and remove the dead man, as they say. But him and his family, Geechee as hell, loved it. Thank you, Ricardo. I just wanted to say that to you. That's a good thing about the South. It's a lot of culture here, a lot of Black culture here that they like to suppress. But I want you and your family to continue the traditions and hold tight and fast to your culture, your language, and the bond that the family unit has, because you guys have showed that, you know, it takes a village. You've held on to that. And that's why you guys are doing so well over there in the, I'm not going to say your last name, but in your family. Now, let's move into some more of the mess of this imperfect union, because that was a perfect ending to my Charleston affair. And, you know, as I leave this area, those are the things I'm going to keep in mind, not, you know, some of those other things like seeing motherfuckers riding around with the Confederate flag on their truck, or people love to have a little serpent, don't tread on me, on their bumper or their license plate around this motherfucker. You know what that means. And the Trump supporters that are often right here in my neighborhood and backyard. But mentioning 45, I don't know if y'all are paying attention to the politics, but certain things I have to highlight for my listeners to ensure that you are paying attention as they make these different decisions. He can't keep anybody like on his cabinet. The hiring and firing is gotten out of control. But apparently he is appointed a new Secretary of Veteran Affairs. And you might say, why is she talking about somebody of Veteran Affairs? Well, first of all, my girlfriend is military. My nephew, congratulations. He is right now at basic. That is something to be celebrated within our union. I know we don't often encourage our Black boys to go into the military or our Black women to go into the military, but it is a place for them to learn and grow and do good work for our country. So we got to kind of remove ourselves from that mindset that, the white man ain't going. The military is actually the most diverse workplace of any other workplace in U.S. If you look it up, it's like one of the most diverse, if not the most diverse workplace. And I just want for my nephew to be exposed to that type of atmosphere versus some of the things that I deal with in my atmosphere where there is no diversity, honey, in my workplace, or very little. I'm not going to say no diversity because there are a few of us, but they spread us out. And if you have gotten past, you know, in your career or moved up to a certain level, you know exactly what I'm talking about. I actually, at the Drake brunch yesterday, was with about 10 African-American postgraduate degree having, I think about 80% of us have postgraduate degrees, 50-50 split men, women. I went around the table and asked them, you know, if their college prepared them for their careers and just different things about being the only one in their career. And most of them said they were the only one and they felt like, you know, it needed to be more of us. But, you know, that's a whole nother topic I get draped off on. But again, in this imperfect union, they don't want more people like us around the table. But we have to be the change we want to see in the world. And when we are in those places, just like the title of this episode, we have been saved from our poverty, from our, you know, single parent home, wherever we're coming from, whatever we're coming with, our baggage, whatever it is. And if you feel like you came from a perfect household and you have been one of those Jack and Jill kind of kids, baby, you've been saved to say it too. So when you get up there in corporate America or in these high level director positions and you're the only one, you need to speak for us. You have been saved to say it as well. I digress. as I often do. Forgive me. I'm going to try to keep this one short like I did last week. I promise. But getting back to 45's appointment of Veteran Affairs and why I'm passionate about that. That pick, not only am I passionate about it because I have family, direct family, cousins, nephews, and my partner in the military. His name is Robert Wilkie. If you haven't Googled him or heard about him in the news, please do. Just so we can know what we're dealing with. He is an extreme right wing Republican. And he has often been cited for supporting of using the Confederate flag, which I'm just over that in South Carolina. They need to give it up. The Civil War was lost. You know, the North won. They keep holding on to that flag. Like, it means so much about their states and their, you know, this history. No, the history was supporting slavery. Y'all wanted to continue to get paid off of it, free labor, and be rich from us black folk doing it for y'all as y'all continue to have us enslaved. That's what that flag really truly represents at the core. So, I mean, this guy, he is in favor of the use of the Confederate flag, for one. He's pushing for privatization for veterans, you know. So, again, this is a federal entity. So, it's one of those things where, you know, they feel like veterans have these entitlements. But if you served your country, you should be entitled to certain services. So those entitlement services that the Republicans often like to highlight, welfare, Medicaid, or affordable health care, veteran affairs, things that they get, those are the things that these people go after to start slashing and cutting funding from. And so his pick is pushing for privatization for Veteran Affairs. Huh, you say, why would he want privatization? Well, that's so the big companies could then come in, the private sector comes in and have control, and they can make money off of it. It's just another way for them to continue to make money, because at the heart and root of what they're doing is capitalism. It's pure capitalism. They don't care who they step on. They don't care who hurts. They just want to get fucking paid at the end of the day. So Mr. Robert Wilkie, this new appointment, I just am like, Trump is continuing to push his agenda slowly but surely. These people will remain there. The Supreme Court nominee that he has will remain on the courts long after he is out of office. And I just want to remind us, I mean, we have to stay in formation. It is really serious around here. Even in just recently in Charleston, we had one of them situations where a white person was talking about why the black kid in the pool or some shit like that. I know y'all been seeing all black kids getting police called on him. This is nothing but the effect of Trump. I just, without going off the deep end and digressing any further, but just be paying attention to these appointments and knowing what they represent, because they do not represent our interests. And in that, our union will continue to be imperfect. These people are not for us. And another thing Mr. Robert Wilkie, this new Secretary of Veteran Affairs, is in favor of, and it really helps me transition into the next segment of Pride and Prejudice, is he's also in favor of the ban on transgender troops serving in our military. So as we look at these appointments for Trump and them being in these positions, we got to understand their interest and what they are in for, because later the policies will come. And if this man feels like transgender troops should not be serving in the United States military, be sure to see them chip away at what's already has set precedence in the Supreme Court for transgender troops being there, because guess what? The law was made, but the law can also be changed. So you got to continue to pay attention to things like that and know, as we have grassroots political changes happening in our communities and our localities, before our, like, keep your ear to the streets and before candidates that have our interests at heart. Because when we send people up to Washington and in Congress, those are the people that are going to vote against these different measures that people like Robert Wilkie will propose to the Senate or propose to the House. So we got to make sure we have the right officials elected from our states representing us. So make sure you are voting in this midterm. So continuing with the Pride and Prejudice segment and thinking about, you know, these officials that are being elected to office and to sit on the cabinet and moving towards this midterm election in November. Remember to keep your ear to the streets, know who you are voting for, know what their interests are, so that when things like a ban on transgender troops serving and them wanting to change the policies for that, our elected officials that we have sent up for our House of Representatives or our Senate officials, they are not in favor of those things. Because it's funny that this Robert Wilkie guy, he was passed through, I think, the House with everybody voting yay except for one vote. And that was our man, Bernie Sanders. So just pay attention, man. People bring lots of prejudice with them. And that is their, you know, what's innate and what their policies are going to represent. And we have seen just so much from kids, especially in these last couple months, getting police called on them for doing different things. I mean, like being in a pool, from selling lemonade to delivering papers. It's the prejudice is just, it's just getting ramped up. And I really feel that that's the Trump effect. And I will not miss that part about being in South Carolina. I mean, even just, I feel like the other day it was something going on here in a community not too far from me, another situation with a black kid at a pool. So it's really crazy how much is happening so often. It's just so often now. But moving into something positive for our Pride and Prejudice segment, y'all know Pose got picked up for a second season. We're only at episode 6 and the people said they wanted more, and God damn it, we gonna get more of Pose. They're coming with a second season, and I just have to say to everybody, I've been talking about this now on this series for every episode. I feel like something about Pose and or my house, one or the other, I've spoken about it. But if you're not watching, I don't know what the fuck is wrong with you. Gay, straight, indifferent. Something got to be wrong. I mean, because they're just giving really good content. They're covering some real issues on that show. Please see past the whole trans movement. But know that it is a movement and it's a moment for them to shine. Like, these are the people we have thrown to the wayside, and they are the last. Even as a black woman, I'm like, these trans women are even below where I'm at. And I feel like I'm low to the flow. So these are the people that really get stepped on and overlooked. And it is their time to shine as a trans community. And Pose is doing a great job in representing them well. So I just say hats off to them, the staffers, the writers, the crew. I'm just a fan. Janet Mock, I love, love, love what they are doing over there at Pose. And I hope not only do they get a second season, but my house, if you haven't been watching, I also talk about that one. It's a docuseries that's on Viceland. I hope they get picked up too. I mean, let this wave continue as we continue to be more representative of who and what our community look like. Let's make sure we putting that out on TV. But hats off to them. I just, as we think about the trans movement and them having their positives and their shine and their light, it's also other things that are being considered. And I don't know if everyone is on top of this latest news in the trans community, but Morehouse, an HBCU here, well, not here, but in the South, most Black people know of Morehouse and the Morehouse Men and the legacy of the Morehouse Men that they hold there. But it is in Atlanta, Georgia, and it's an HBCU, and their sister college is Spelman University. But Spelman, I believe it was last year, has already tackled the issue of trans applicants. And 'cause think about it. When you do an application, you are given, I mean, within the first 5 or 6 questions on your application, you are given a choice to identify your gender assignment. And you're only given 2 choices, male or female. So that's how applications work, right? So if I'm a trans woman, I'm going to check female, just like I'm a woman right now. I check female. If I'm a trans man, I check male because I identify as a male. And like other men, they check male, just like other men. It ain't nothing different. To me, it's nothing different. But hear ye, hear ye. We have these colleges addressing the issue of trans application or applicants on this on their application process. Spelman last year, I believe, has already said that they are going to admit those women who identify as women but were not born women. So those that are that have transitioned. And our trans women, which I say hats off to Spelman for being on top of this issue as something that people probably has just turned a blind eye to over time. But they have changed their policy already, which forces the hand of Morehouse. They are in the hot seat. So Spelman, your sister college right here in Atlanta, which is one of the gayest cities, be real now, I would say if not top 3, top 5 gayest cities in America. Y'all have to address this. And then in our Black culture, it's something that we don't want to address. And as Black men, I feel like there's even more of a stigma with Black men addressing or accepting our LGBTQ counterparts. Like, it's still something with Black men and their uncomfortableness with it, discomfort. But this university and their legacy is on right in the middle of change. They have to figure something out. They have to establish some type of policy, some type of change, because we know, I mean, trans men, to me, identify as men. So what is the problem? Why is it even a policy necessary? But we know that people will discriminate. People are prejudiced. Even within the Black community, it's unfortunate. But so Morehouse sent out a survey, 5 or 6 questions, 6 question survey to its alum. And you either agree or disagree with the question. So one of the questions today, Morehouse should admit students who self-identify as men regardless of their gender at birth. Now, if you understand what a trans man is, you understand that they were assigned the wrong gender at birth. That's the whole thing. It was a misassignment and they feel like they are men. And that's why they go through the transition of being who they really are. So they identify as men. The whole wording of this with the self-identify as men, I think that is the part to make sure we understand the semantics, because that is words mean things. And that's where they are only talking about the trans community, those that self-identify as trans men. But I'm happy that they're considering changing this policy and allowing trans men to be accepted and welcomed on the campus. I'm not sure if that's going to be the end of the discrimination or some hazing that might happen, because we know even within our community, there's still shit that go down that's unacceptable, period. But thinking about that along the line, should transitioning women, oh, let me just read the question before I get into it. It says Morehouse should not admit students who self-identify as women, regardless of their gender at birth. Okay, so these are trans women, right? Now, let's say you are a man and you decide your junior year, you got your coin together, honey. You are sick of living this fairy tale of being a man. You have felt like from birth you have been assigned the wrong gender, and you are ready to transition. You leave for the summer, you come back a woman in the fall, and you started taking your hormones, people don't know, and you come back as a woman. Should Morehouse kick these people out? Should they kick them out? And then, you know, if you self-identify, to me, it's like, I self-identify as a female. This is a male institution. That's what they were built on. That's what they were founded on. When I checked my application, I did check male. So that's the part where I'm a little like, ooh, that's a sticky situation, because I only got my senior year left. Should I finish? Should I transfer? And would a trans woman really even want to stay in that environment? I don't even know if she would. But it's something to consider when considering this new policy that Morehouse is looking to change and address. As any institution, we have to think about, now we live in a world where things are so different. It's not that black and white, you know, where gender is just male, female. I mean, if you're going to give us those two boxes to check, those two labels, if I'm a trans woman, I am checking woman. And Spelman is allowing trans women to enter and apply for college there. So if you present yourself as a female, I don't see why you wouldn't want to go on and transfer and be at a female institution like Spelman or just some other institution and leave Morehouse. So it's some things to consider, but they put that on their survey. So yeah, it's something to consider. And I mean, hopefully Morehouse gets this right. The world is watching Morehouse and other institutions. I'm now interested to do a little bit of research and see have any other institutions address this issue of gender assignment, or if they're even thinking of changing the application process, or what's on the application period. Is it even, I guess, for Title I or Title IX purposes, you do have to have those labels and boxes to check for different funding, but for males and females, and of course, especially if it's an institution or college like Morehouse and a college like Spelman, where it is all female, all male, I guess you do need to have that on the application. It seems a little like, I guess if I'm applying to Morehouse, I'm a man anyway, so why would that be necessary? But that's just me. That's just what I'm thinking. But just remember, you know, you got these different things out here to consider. I think that Morehouse, hopefully they get it right. It's just one thing that I was like, I don't know if this part is ever going to be addressed, but if I'm a queen, if I'm a drag queen and I am dressing in drag, but I identify as a male, and not to muddy the waters, because being a drag queen is not the same thing as being transgender. Okay. So I mean, I know that's a little extra spice that we don't really need to mix up in between these two situations, but it's something to consider, because if I'm a Morehouse man and I go out and I perform and I do a show in drag, and that's something I want to do. And one of my colleagues or my classmates find out, should I be kicked out because I'm dressing in drag, which I'm not identifying as female, but I'm dressing in drag and I'm as a woman, presenting myself to the world as a woman. I'm not even going to answer that. But if he identify as male, I say he get to go to Morehouse. If she identify as woman, I say she gets to go to Spelman. That's just Malika. I'm just saying, I feel like our queer folk, we need to do a better job, and the world needs to start accepting us and continuing to shine the light on the trans experience. Because if we think about it, they are the last ones. If we think as Black people, as Black women, we got it bad, just imagine how bad they have it. So when we are out there, we have to speak up for them. We have been saved to say it. So I want to leave you with this quote and end this episode here. Your life is your message to the world. Make sure it's inspiring. Peace. That's our show for this week. Hopefully someone walked away with something meaningful and a better understanding of the topics we discussed. Remember, I'm going to keep grinding and keep hustling to give you this dope content. If you have questions, remember, legit questions, you can always send those in to social@beingfrankmedia.com. Again, that's social, S-O-C-I-A-L, at Being Frank Media. You can now find this podcast on Anchor, Apple Podcasts, Overcast, Pocket Cast, and Public Radio, y'all. Your girl doing her thing. Remember to follow us on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter at Being Frank Media, where you can be bold, honest, and unmistakable. Peace.